Hi, this is Dr. Stephen Farmer, the Society of Shamanic Practice, and I have the privilege today of speaking with Serena Cerati, who has been working with plant spirit medicines and other shamanic practices for 20 years. So welcome, Serena, and I hope I continue to say that correctly. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's very nice to be here. And, you know, just for those who don't speak Spanish, Serena means mermaid in Spanish.
Serena, it means mermaid.
Yes.
I know you. I've known you for a few years now, and really admire and respect your work as well as your ethics with the work. And so I'm sure we'll get into that today. As you well know, there's a popularity, if you will, of the use of plant medicines that's increasing. I always find it ironic that the plants are teaching us, you know, human beings these days. So, and I do admire your work and I respect you, and I'm glad that you're able to do this interview. And you actually lived in the Peruvian Amazon jungle quite a while while you're doing your apprenticeship.
Well, you know, I started in 2005 with the plant medicines, and honestly, I did not know what I was getting into. Madre Ayahuasca, the spirit of the plants medicine, seemed to find me across space and time for some reason. And I found my teacher when I went to a plant spirit medicine retreat all those years ago. I was the only one in the group that spoke Spanish, so I was able to speak to the two shamans. And I told one of them that I was on a healer's path. You know, I had studied also various forms of magic and other healing topics. And he kind of peered at me and said, well, if you would like to come back and live in the jungle with me, I will teach you this path. Hmm. And my apprenticeship was done in various parts of the jungle. He had it designed. He broke it down in sections. And each one, we were at a different part with like a different native group. So for example, like the first part, we were living with a Jivaro tribe off Rio Momon. And that's where I got my first taste of the bugs. Mm. I sure they were under my skin, and I was very physically uncomfortable for most of the time. And there was a part of me that was like, I don't know if I can take this anymore, you know? Yeah. And I think there were times when my teacher thought that I was going to run screaming back to the city. He told me that most of the apprentices that he had only lasted about a week. And that's what I needed, because I thought, I've paid all this money. I found a teacher. I'm here. I'm not quitting.
That's commitment. That's really commitment.
No matter how much torture I felt, I'm not quitting. And I think it's that attitude is what allows me to do work that can sometimes get pretty wild.
Yeah, you know, especially there was a background I know from our previous conversations that you had had a goal of being a rock and roll star, and you are a singer.
Yes.
Which has also transferred to the work.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I found that my musical background and all the performing has helped me in my ceremonial work. Hmm. Most of the native shamans have not taken singing lessons. Some of them don't have trained voices. That's not important. You know, what is important is that you sing the songs correctly. You know, the words have particular meanings. They drive different parts of the ceremonies. So I think my experience learning so many songs, whether they were top 40 or commercial or even writing my own, has helped me learn the Icaros in several different languages.
And the Icaros are the songs that are the traditional songs that you learned.
Yes.
To use and apply in certain instances in the ceremony, the ayahuasca.
Yes. Yeah. There are Icaros for putting in the protection at the beginning, also putting protection around participants. There are other ones for healing, like cleaning the body. And also I have particular ones for dealing with more challenging situations, like if somebody comes in and they're carrying an entity, or I have to lift things off, I have particular incantations and songs that will help in that as well.
So this is something, like you said, I commented earlier, 20 years of experience doing this. And how many years approximately was the apprenticeship?
I've done about 5, which is about the minimum they say like is needed for the apprenticeship for my path, which is the Peruvian Amazon Mestizo path for ayahuasca work.
Yeah. You mentioned, we've talked about this a bit too, is, well, what do you call yourself? You know, the term that probably most people who are doing some sort of shamanic practice is ayahuasquero. But you said in Spanish pronunciation, I can't do the Spanish, but vegetalista. And that it has a certain implication as well, correct?
Yes. Yeah. The thing is, in my tradition, vegetalista is somebody who works with plants and is kind of like the umbrella. Ayahuasquero is somebody who works with ayahuasca. So somebody can be an ayahuasquero and still be a vegetalista. But somebody who's a vegetalista could also be a huachumero, which is somebody who works with huachuma or San Pedro, or maybe not even ayahuasca or San Pedro. It could be camalonga, which is a different plant medicine often used for strengthening the spirit or warding off the bad guys. You know, other different kinds of medicine, you know, so vegetalistic covers the whole umbrella. You know, I'm not just an ayahuasquera or, you know, huachumera. My goal, I think, would be to be perfumera, you know, using plant medicines and fragrant plants as healing. I think that would be a lovely path. So that's probably where I'm going to go next.
That'll be the next one. Yeah. You know, one thing, Serena, is the really the proliferation of interest in plant medicines. You know, I think of the plant cannabis, of course, you know, which has been now legalized, I recall, in something like 16 or 17 states for recreational and medicinal uses. Other states have it for medicinal uses as a representation of, I believe, even a symbolic representation of what's happening with plant medicine. And then again, I mentioned Michael Pollan's book, which I'm an admirer of his writings. He's written a lot about food and such. That proliferation, I think, really struck me when I looked up on the search engine, ayahuasca, and I found places you can actually buy it, like you can do it at home on your own or something like that, which I'm a bit shocked by that, but I go, okay, that's what we do sometimes, you know, as we take this and sort of cannibalize it, if you will. I'm not sure that's the right term, but you know what I mean? So I'd like to hear your comments about that.
Things like the teacher plants, like ayahuasca, particularly for people who haven't been trained, it's not a matter of taking the plant medicine so that you get visions. The issue is when you take these plants, the ones that have like a spirit, you're also opening yourself up to the other dimensions. So, you know, when you look at some of these, like the drug forums on the internet, and you see like how people are mixing things, like it's all for tripping. Usually I don't see something where somebody's like, oh yes, I'm trying to do this to heal. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but overall, because this plant does have visionary properties, that's where I see a lot of the abuse. But the problem is, it's not just a matter of buying something off the internet, which, again, I would not recommend, and I'll get to that in a minute. But it's also, you're opening up doorways. And if you don't know about putting in protection or have guides that you work with, you could be inviting in trouble. You know, there are things out there that are just looking for that open doorway. The other issue too, my current teacher tells me, never take ayahuasca if you do not know where it comes from, because it can kill you. to make the ayahuasca brew, it takes several days. You know, we have to go out with our machetes, cut the vine down, cut it to fit the pot. You have to pound it. You're putting prayers in it all the time, like good intent. We don't leave the pot as it's cooking, you know, so there's no bad influences that can come in. So there's a lot of work and a lot of prayer that goes into it. You cannot be sure if you buy something off the internet or in a given market that that medicine has been made cleanly. You know, it could have other plants in it that are not good for the medicine. Sometimes people will put other things in them to ensure visions, and that's also not good. So, it's just being trained and seeing what comes up when people drink. I don't recommend it. It's a safety thing, because then I usually end up having to clean up the messes for things like that.
Well, it truly is sacred medicine. And, you know, I'm a child of the 60s. So, you know, I sampled the various substances, including the psychedelic substances, you know, but I didn't know what I was doing. You know, it was great. I think it opened the doors, you know, to have there is another dimension or other dimensions, you know, but we didn't at that time. I don't think anybody really knew, you know, Tim Leary, you know, really knew what we were getting into. And then I think what's happened since then is there are people like yourself that are more teaching about ethics, I would call them ethics, not morality so much, but ethics. You know, what are the ethics about ingesting these substances? You know, do I do it in a controlled situation, like Pollan writes about, you know, with psilocybin from the magic mushroom? Do I do it? What if I really want to do ayahuasca? I'm curious about it. I've read about it. I've heard about it, you know, through the network. And someone comes along and says, hey, I know somebody. You know, let's say I'm that person. What advice would you give me if I've never sampled that before and I've been referred to someone?
Good question. You know, I have a lot of long-term people that, you know, I've been working with for years. But I don't expect people to always sit with me. They may, you know, if they've come from across the country, they may find somebody eventually in their own state, or if they're going to a jungle lodge. So I have a list of things that I have developed over the years that I suggest to them. One of the things would be like to ask the leader, how many years have you been leading the ceremonies? And I do say, yes, years. Because if somebody has just gotten a bottle off like the Facebook marketplace, or they've gone to a jungle lodge and maybe done a couple plant diets for a couple weeks, that does not give them the deep inherent knowledge with dealing what arises in the ceremony. So you're looking for somebody who has been doing this for a long time. I would ask them who they trained with and where. You know, I mean, I know not everybody's going to be able to train with a native shaman in the jungle like I did. There are certainly other second generation teachers, many of them who are living in Peru and South America, who are awesome teachers. You know, they've done their apprenticeship, they work with ethics and stuff. So you want somebody who's trained with them. Any properly trained leader is going to be able to talk about their lineage. For example, I'm of the lineage of the shamans of Rio Napo through my first teacher. That goes back many years. And then also now through my teacher who's in Tamsiaku. But, you know, anybody who's properly trained will be happy to talk about their background. So, I met somebody in the past year and I was asking him about his experience, and his reply was, well, you know, I've worked with people all over the world and done a bit of this and that. That's not an apprenticeship. You know, that's somebody who's dabbled and learned some things. That's great. That's probably not somebody who's going to be able to take care of you if you suddenly realize you don't have a body and you're panicking in a ceremony. How many teacher plants do you work with? I've seen ads on the internet from people who call themselves shamans, and they list five or more medicines: ayahuasca, San Pedro, peyote, cannabis, cambo, DMT. Those are just plant administrators. You know, nobody can be master of that many plants. My teachers, you know, they follow the ayahuasca path. My jungle teachers don't touch San Pedro. And I believe the Huachumeros in the Sacred Valley area don't work with ayahuasca. They dedicate themselves to one teacher plant. So there are a couple, you know, there's people like me who are second generation who we've apprenticed with the one plant, but sometimes the second plant comes in and says, I would like you to offer me as well. Mm-hmm. Once you've done your one apprenticeship, it helps you in working with that second one as long as it's complementary. But again, it takes years. I hold two teacher plants. I would not try to do more than that, regardless of what's trendy. The cambo, the frog medicine is very popular right now, and people keep asking me to do it. I don't do it. I'm not trained in it. I'm not interested in it. There are other people who do it, so that's fine.
Well, like you said, it's somebody used that word a few years ago, that ayahuasca has become trendy. I love that. It's like,
yeah.
What did you say? It's not a party drug.
No. I mean, I hear horror stories of how people mix it with alcohol. You know, even my current teacher was telling me about some of the guys who come into his camp. You know, he goes, oh, we clean their cabins afterwards and we find vodka bottles under the bed. Or there are people who book river cruises, and in one part of the boat they have the open bar, and the other part they have the shaman offering ayahuasca. And, you know, the people who don't want to get out. I mean, as anybody who's worked with this medicine knows, it can make you feel quite ill, what we call the mareaciones, like a seasickness. Why anybody would want to drink alcohol on top of that, I just can't even imagine. But, you know, people are trying to force the visionary part of it, you know.
Do you see the difference between expectation and intention?
Expectation to me is somebody who maybe has spoken to a friend, and the friend has said, oh, you need to drink a large quantity of medicine so that you can have these amazing visions. It's going to happen like this. It's going to be like this. You're going to see this. And if you don't get that, then there's something wrong. The thing with ayahuasca or any of these teacher plants is, because they have a spirit that you can communicate with, that spirit works with your divine oversoul to give you what you need during that moment. So an intention might be, I would like to improve my relationship with my mother somehow. And it might be that I carry that in and I present that. But then when you have your intent, you put it down next to you and say, okay, this is what I'd like to work on, but it's okay if I don't. Because, as you know, in shamanic work, we always use the onion peeling analogy. The thing that you think you may need to work on, you may think it's on the top layer, but it's actually much farther down here. So in order to get there, we have to start peeling off the layers. So as long as you can come in and say, whatever it is I really need to work on tonight, I'm open to it. I accept it. You will have good results. I mean, obviously I can't guarantee all the time, you know, you can't, you can't say, yes, it's going to be like this all the time, but then you're not expecting that this is going to happen. It's just as frequent to not have visions as it is to have visions. But that's not the important part. You want the knowledge behind the visions. You want to communicate with the plant spirit because that's what changes your life.
Yeah. So nothing that says in your when you communicate with people, money back guarantee. Visions. I'm joking, of course. You know.
You might be joking, but I've actually seen some lodges advertising that you were going to come down there and you're going to achieve enlightenment by sitting in their ceremonies. Or the other one, like the shaman might say, oh, I can look at you and tell that you're going to be a shaman. You know, if you pay me lots of money, I can make you a shaman. That doesn't happen. You know, the process of becoming a medicine person is between you and the creator. It's the work you do on yourself, and it takes years. Nobody can wave their magic wand and guarantee. So, you know, I have a very extensive questionnaire that I give to each potential participant, and I will put on there, there can be no guarantees. Mm-hmm. You will get what you need on the night, but, you know, there's no money back guarantee. So,
yeah. I think, Serena, that like even in participating in ceremony of any sort, really is, it's not like, wow, that was so cool, I can't wait to do it next month. Don't think that's really wise to consider it like a daily or weekly or monthly regimen. Yeah. You know, it's like, okay, I'm being called, you know, the signs are there, you know, I can feel it. I know that, okay, it's time to check in. The other thing, I remember Terrence McKenna, this is years ago reading, I remember what he said. One of the things he said, if you're not nervous, something's wrong. You know, in going into a ceremony.
I like
this.
That.
Yeah, if you're not a little bit nervous, because you may experience a death. Not physical, but a death.
Yes.
Would you agree?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I tell people when they pay their deposit and sign up for a ceremony, that's when their ceremony actually begins. And many times that's when the anxiety begins, even with old timers, even with me, you know, I still experiencing that. And it can be such a point where somebody's like, oh my God, like, I don't know if I should do this or not. Like, am I doing the right thing? Your higher self knows what you're going to work on, but your lower personal self doesn't. So you get this kind of like, these nerves, like, oh my God, I don't know what's going to happen and whatever. And that's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
In my opinion.
Well stated. Well stated. I like that. The higher self knows what the little self may not know. The smaller self. Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
So the little self starts freaking out, and that's what causes a lot of that.
Appreciate your precautions about it. You know, the question to ask, I think that those are extremely important. That it's not a casual thing. It's not a party drug. It's not something that you may get visions, you may not, but you can put your intention out there and then put it aside, you know, and then just go up and let the plant spirit work with you. I think that's a summary of what I believe you're communicating.
Yeah. Another thing that I ask people to talk to a potential ceremonialist is, do you sing live or do you play recording?
Good. Yeah.
You know, it takes us a long time to learn the Icaros. I'm all right with the Spanish ones because I speak the language, but the native ones, the Shipibo, the Quechua, the Ashaninka, they take me a little bit longer to learn. But the effort that you put into those, and then you've got those as tools in the ceremony, at any given moment in a ceremony, things can change. Somebody could all of a sudden call out for help. You may need to do something. You need to be able to have the right song right there. Somebody who's playing a ayahuasca set list on their phone is not going to be able to say, wait, let me pause this and fast forward this to the blah, 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 Icaro. As the participant, that also tells me the person can't be bothered to train. You know, if you can't be bothered to learn the songs, you probably can't deal with things that come up in ceremony that might be very serious.
Right. It requires dedication and commitment, you know, based on, you know, absolute dedication and commitment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just, before we complete here, I know from something you had said earlier, that you've worked with a lot of professionals too, the doctors, lawyers, teachers, you know, you have a variety and a diversity of people that show up for your ceremonies, correct?
Yes, I would say there's a good cross section all across America. I always find it interesting, you know, like I've had like emergency room doctors, ex-military, lawyers. What I'm getting a lot of now are people who work in mental health fields, like psychologists and psychiatrists. And they say, like, we're aware of this other methodology. I want to experience it myself because so many people are doing this now. This is like so opposite to the way we're trained, you know, using the DSM, you know, and making diagnoses, you know, based on standard practices.
And again, I go back to your comment earlier about experiencing the alternate dimensions that are right here, right now, but that because of our limited capacity to perceive them, we just don't typically see them. There may be some individuals that do without the assistance of plant medicine, but the world is full of miracle magic all the time. And I
do weekend retreats, and as Sunday morning comes, a lot of people will say, oh, I don't want to leave, you know, I don't want to go back to my job, to my house, to the whatever, whatever, you know, how can I want to take the ceremony with me. And I said, this is why we do this work. We don't just come down here to sit on the floor and drink this medicine. We do this work to change ourselves, which change our relationship outside, but, and then also the way we see the world.
Any other words of wisdom or anything else that you might want to add or say about your work, plant medicine in general, the use of it, etc.?
Basically, I would tell people to listen to their instinct. You know, don't go to a ceremony or do any plant medicine if somebody tells you they think you should do it. You know, sometimes when people find me, because I work through a very closed referral system, they say like, oh, I've been looking for this for years. When somebody really needs the kind of thing that I do, spirit will open the door to the connections that allow them to find me. But for people who don't seek these medicines just as an experience to check it off the list, because if you go to a ceremony just because your friends are, it's very likely that you'll either have a bad experience or you won't have much happen at all. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to be driven by a good reason to go, like an intent, like some kind of healing or, you know, this seeking. The feeling is, it's unmistakable. It's like a drive. It's that thing that you start seeking that which is driving you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's a calling to do this. It's not an ambition. Yeah. It's certainly not something to be trendy. And I trust that all of you who are listening have enjoyed this interview and this conversation. Certainly gives you some good advice. Serena's given us all some really good advice about the use or not use. It's not something necessarily for everybody, and you can still be on the shamanic path without ever sampling any kind of plant medicine. I think that's important to know too. So thank you.
Yes.
I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Stephen. It was wonderful speaking to you again.
All right. Take care, Serena.